For having me back again. It's wonderful to be with you. And those passages of scripture are really awesome, aren't they? And thank you for doing a 4-week series on mission. That's awesome. And thank you for using this pray, care, give, go. They're the calls to action from my own organization, CMS, as the structure for this series. And what a treat it is to be part of that. Thank you. So a few months back, Mike, the minister, gave me a call and told me about this mission series and said, "Mark, which one would you like to preach on?" Ooh, tough question. You know, it's not quite the same as asking which of your children do you love the most, but you know, these four, they're very precious to me. And I'm thinking, all right, where can I be most helpful? You know, we're in our branch, we're praying that God would raise up 15 missionaries by 2030. So maybe I could do the talk on go. But then there's give. Our costs of sending missionaries this year have increased by 24%. So maybe I could do something on giving. Or what about pray? That's the engine room of mission, isn't it? So if we ramp up our praying, maybe we'll receive the funds we need and receive the missionaries we desire. But I ended up picking this one, care. And not because it's necessarily more important than the others, but because it, I think, underpins the others. Care is about our hearts. Another word for care is love. And we only have the gospel because God so loved the world, God so cared for the world that he sent his only son. And we pray and we give and we go or send because we care. Decades ago, I worked in a completely different organization, not a Christian organization, and it really wasn't a healthy organization, lots of hypocrisy. I was there with a coworker, and we were finding it really hard to stay committed to this organization. You know, we turn up every day and we do our jobs and so on, but our minds and our hearts were, they had checked out. And the expression we started to use to each other was care factor low. And eventually that expression would just become CFL. And so, you know, something else bad would happen and we'd just be passing each other in the hallway and we just quietly say to each other, CFL. And we just couldn't care less anymore. And of course, we didn't stick around for very long. It turns out the organization didn't stick around for very long either. But wouldn't it be awful if we had CFL in relation to global mission? Imagine a church with a low care factor for the salvation of the world. Lord, may it not be so. Now, you might be thinking, hang on, doesn't care refer to, you know, sending thoughtful emails to missionaries or pulling together a little care package or something to welcome them on home assignment or lending them a car for 6 months or something like that? Well, yes, and we'll talk about some of those things at the end because we do want to know our missionaries and their needs and ask God to provide for and get involved in providing for the needs of our missionaries. And that can partly be, we can express our care through praying for things like language learning or their children's friendships or their education. Or it can also be expressed by our giving because CMS is able to provide a lot of the practical things that the missionaries need, like their in-person pastoral visits that they get every year, or you know, their medical needs, their housing, their transport, their allowances. So there's many ways that we can provide care for global mission. But I think we want to step up a level. We wanted to ask the why question. Why are we talking about Mitchell and Amelia this morning? Why should we, you know, care particularly about them? And I think there's a higher purpose that we should be caring about. And that is, they've gone to a particular part of the world. They've got their eye on a particular nation or people group, or in Mike and Karen's case, it's like a whole host of people groups across Africa that they're serving. But we care about those contexts as well, shouldn't we? You know, we should care about the ministry and mission needs of Africa and the various countries whose individuals are studying at their Bible college, for example. We should care about that. But I also want to say there's another why. There's another level up that we need to go as we think about care. We must care about the glory of God through mission. In the end, that's the thing that drives the whole agenda. If we don't care about that, we won't care about the nations, we won't care about the missionaries. And so that's where we're going over the next few minutes. We are going to start at the top with the glory of God. 3 points. We'll look at the glory of God first, then caring for the nations, and then finish with caring about the workers. Let me pray briefly as we dive in. Lord God, fill our hearts with love for you, your honor, the nations, and the people you've sent to the nations. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So point one, care for the glory of God through global mission. And I'd like to turn to Psalm 67 again. Dave Purton spoke on this same passage last week, and we chatted on the phone, and I thought, you know what, it's actually such a good passage for mission, we might as well get to know it even better. And you'd be good to look at it in your Bibles if you have them in front of you. And it starts with a well-known blessing. May God be gracious to us and bless us. Make his face shine on us. And, you know, people have sung beautiful songs with these words. And what a great thing to pray and sing for God's blessing, for his face, his favor towards us, that he would step into our lives and you know, Lord, you're welcome in my home. You're welcome in my family. You're welcome in my city. I want your presence and your blessing. And it's one of the distinctives of being Christian that we pray about stuff. We ask God to do good things in our lives. We ask him to fix things, or if he doesn't fix them, to help us manage things. Maybe we pray for healing from something, for a new job if we need it, for repaired relationships or wisdom for decisions or for our children's success or all sorts of really good things to pray for. And when we pray these things, we're expressing our dependence on God for them, which is a very good thing to do, and Jesus tells us to do it. But what is the ultimate goal of praying for God's blessing on your life? Why ultimately would God answer them? Because the goal of praying for blessing might surprise you. You know, maybe we think the most important thing in our lives is our family. No. Maybe we think the most important decisions we make in life are, you know, who we marry, what job we do, where to live. Actually, no. You know, we hear these words of this blessing quoted quite often, but I must say, I rarely ever hear the whole sentence that's there in the text. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that, hey, look, there's purpose here. I wonder what it is. So that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Yes, the reason, you may not have realized this, the reason we pray for God's blessing on our lives is global mission. Come on, Mark, don't be ridiculous. You can't say everything is about global mission. Well, I don't know. I think that's just what the text is saying. It's saying that the reason we pray for ourselves, for God's blessing on us, is so that God's ways might be known among the nations, and that as a result, God would be praised as he is due. And what else is mission if not that? It's making the glory of God known among the nations. And then the psalm just goes on with this great sort of song of, it's kind of a prayerful desire. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. We get the point, don't we? This is the purpose. This is the center of the psalm. praise of God among the nations. And you know, that word may all the people praise you. You know, it can be a bit of a weak word. You know, may I help you? It's not a very strong word, but here it is meant very strongly. It's a different sort of sense. It's the sense of a future that hasn't yet been realized, but one that is coming, or one that we desire, that will be supremely good, the one we long for and pray for. And so it's like the phrase, if only. If only all the peoples would praise you, God. Or, I long for the day when the nations will be glad and sing for joy because Christ reigns. These are prayers for God to be glorified through global mission. This is the heartbeat of the church. This is our heart's desire. We pray for blessing on ourselves so that this might happen. Lord, bless my children so that they might become missionaries. Lord, use my funds and my possessions to that end, that your name might be known in all the nations. Lord, bless my work. Bless my health and my marriage so that everything that I am might promote Christ among the nations. Everything we have, everything we say we own comes from God, and everything should be redirected towards making Jesus known for who he is. What better use would there be for our resources? I mean, Jesus himself doesn't mince words. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So it's this real and true status that needs to be proclaimed among the nations, and that's the task he gives to the church because of it. And so everything that we do and everything we are needs to be in some ways directed towards this goal. Imagine a church with a low care factor for the salvation of the world. Lord, may it not be so. So praying, caring, I should say, for God's glory through mission. Secondly, caring for the fields of his harvest. Jesus is the Lord the world needs. And in that short passage from John chapter 4, Jesus said in verse 35, it's like he says to his disciples, close your eyes, and just imagine, you know, open, but he actually says, open your eyes. And look at the fields. Maybe there are actual fields in front of them right there. But he says, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. So for us, we need to imagine it. This extensive wheat field. And it's all ready for harvest. But this is a crop for eternal life, he says. He's not talking about wheat or what food is going to be put on the table. He's talking about people and about their eternal life. Farmers tell me that once a crop is ready, you can't leave it there. You can't sort of just wait, oh, you know, do it next month or next week. You've got to jump on it, and you've just got to work like crazy to get that crop harvested while it's still good. It's urgent work. The nations need to hear about Jesus. Now, which nations? It's always a tricky question. There's lots of them. CMS talks about reaching gospel poor peoples for Christ. Some mission agencies will, instead of using the word gospel poor, they'll talk about them as the unreached. And these are groups, people groups with less than 2% Christians. And so that means that people in these groups will likely never hear the gospel unless someone crosses into their culture. So we're not just talking about unbelievers. We've got plenty of those in Australia. We're not an unreached people group here, although there are some in our midst. But we're talking about people, not just unbelievers. We're talking about people who are also unbelievers but have no access to the gospel because there aren't very many Christians in their lives, within their culture groups. And people tend to stay within their culture groups over the course of their lives. And so, the gospel doesn't just sort of automatically sort of drift across cultural groups. So in terms of the unreached or gospel poor people groups, we're talking about, out of a total of 17,000 people groups in the world, we're talking about 7,000 of them are classified as unreached or gospel poor. And that's about 3.2% of the world's population. Sorry, 3.2 billion is what I meant to say. 3.2 billion individuals, about 40%. It's a big number, isn't it? But, it's actually even more striking than this, because 2 billion of those, so that 3.2, that's less than 2%, less than 2 in 100. 2 billion of them, it's less than 1 in 1,000. And that just means it's impossible, for them to hear the gospel unless someone comes across cultures. And very often their governments or their religious systems are hostile to Christians as well. And often they have a history of hostility. Otherwise, there would be more missionaries who would have gone there. Of course, there are missionaries in all sorts of gospel hostile parts of the world. And sometimes when the curtain is raised and we see what God has been doing behind the security curtain, we're often amazed. China was a good example of that. And yet, here's the thing. Gospel poor peoples in the world are massively underrepresented in terms of the number of missionaries that go to them. For every 30 missionaries that go to the reached people groups of the world, and there's plenty of good things to do amongst the reached people groups of the world, for every 30 that goes to them, you know how many go to the unreached? One. It's 30 to 1, reached to unreached. Now, CMS, I'm very proud to work for CMS at this point because we are doing a lot better than the average here. We've got more than 1 in 3 of our missionaries are working to reach the gospel poor. But it's pretty significant, isn't it? What about giving? I know that's next week's topic, but giving is an indication of what we care about, isn't it? Things are a little bit concerning, though. We've got a graph that we're going to show here, and you probably can't read a single word on there, maybe except the title. So maybe the next one you can read a little bit more of. But I'll just, it's basically the circles that I'd like you to see. So that green circle there represents the amount of money that Christians across the world earn and give. So they earn, so of the money they earn, on average, Christians give 1.7% to any Christian cause. Not a massive amount, is it? But if we take that 1.7%, the blue section, and then blow that up, you can see there's another small pie chart there that shows that of our giving, 82% of it is used for local church and organizations, and 12% is for local national outreach, and 5.8% is used for global foreign missions. So it's a pretty small slice of a small slice, isn't it? But what about the unreached or the gospel poor? That's the red graph here. 86.5% is global mission money that is given to the more reached people groups, and 11.7% is people groups with some access to the gospel. The amount that's given to unreached people groups is 1.8%. So it's 1.8% of 5.8% of 1.7%. So let me boil it down like this. For every $100,000 that Christians earn around the world, the amount we give to the gospel poor, out of $100,000, the amount we give to the gospel poor is $1.70. And this makes me really, really sad and quite emotional. And this is at a time in history when there are more people alive who do not know Christ than at any other time in history. And to me, this indicates that, globally speaking, the average Christian doesn't really care about the gospel poor. And so that's got to be our big question today on this sermon on care. Does this bother you? Does it concern you? Does it make you sad? You might say, but Mark, I can't love everybody. You're talking about the whole world here. What, you know, I can't care for the whole world. I'm just one person. And, you know, I can't even get to the end of a news bulletin without shaking my head and saying, oh, the world is in a mess. It's all too much. Let's turn on Netflix. But do you think Jesus is the Lord that the world needs? Do you believe that Palestine needs Jesus? Gaza? Do you believe that Israel needs Jesus? That Ukraine needs Jesus? That the poor countries of the world need Jesus? Yes, these countries, they've got very tangible and practical needs, don't they? Maybe they need peace, or they need development work or food or whatever it is. But don't we long that work gets done by Christians so that they meet Christ, the source of their ultimate need? And, you know, it's true, we are tiny, tiny country, tiny city. You know, we're just a bunch of Christians who meet here on Sunday. And maybe you feel like when you're on your own praying, you're tiny, and you are, but God is not. And he can do this. We can move to the next slide or take that slide off, thanks. He can do this. God is already on the move in response to a whole lot of people's care and prayers. You know, the number of Muslims every year around the world coming to faith is about 1 million. That's great, isn't it? And a lot of it's happening because of visions and dreams of Jesus, and then they look at the scriptures and come to faith. It's still very small numbers, though, in terms of 2 billion Muslims who need Jesus. But, you know, God is on the move. And the places in the world where the gospel is growing the fastest are the kinds of places that you and I would probably be too scared even to step foot in. The church is growing fastest in places like Iran and Yemen. Praise the Lord for that. God is on the move. But what does he want from us? Well, he wants our hearts. He wants you to care. He loves the nations. He loves all the people groups of the world, and he wants them all around Christ's throne. He wants us also to love the nations. And out of our care, he wants us to pray and to give, and to go or send. Jesus said, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. He's saying, wake up to this reality of the nations. Thirdly and finally, we want to talk about care for the workers. Care for God's glory, care for the nations, and care for the workers of his harvest. You might know Nigel and Rose, who are part of the evening congregation here. A few years ago, I interviewed Nigel and Rose at my own church when they were finishing up as missionaries in Southeast Asia. We were about to take on the Purdy family as new partner missionaries, and I asked Nigel and Rose, what advice would you have for us as a church as we take on this new missionary family? And without hesitation, they said, love them. It's always stuck with me. That was 4 years ago. Now, how do you love them if you don't have a kind of a personal relationship with them? Well, that is actually how you care. You build a personal relationship. Can we all do it? Well, actually, yes, we all can. It'll require a bit of effort, but CMS is here to help. These are real and practical ways of growing a relationship of care with missionaries. I've got one of these cards up here. I took it from the porch. You can get one of these and take it home. Subscribe to a missionary's partnership updates is what we call them. They're the prayer updates, prayer emails. You can just do that on the CMS website, or there's a QR code here that will let you do it, and that will give you access to their monthly information, their emails and prayer points. So subscribe is the first. Second, pledge to donate to them monthly. You know, why this step two? Well, because this is the tangible way of connecting and tangible way of caring. The best way to provide for them is to make sure they've got the food and medicine, medical and all of those things that CMS is able to provide in looking after for them. And it's a tangible way as well of making a commitment. Our wallets are real in terms of how what they represent. So subscribe, pledge, and then respond. Look out for that email that comes through once a month and read it and, you know, pray the prayer points at the bottom of it. Pray for their nation and pray that God would be glorified through the mission they're doing. And then hit reply and say, hi, you don't know me. My name is such and such. I just want to say thank you for what you're doing. And I was encouraged by what you said about blah. Sign off and then do it again the next month. And if you do that over a 12 to 24 month period, you won't be struggling to care. These will be people that you're in conversation with and communication with, and they would love to hear from you. And it'll come from your heart, and God will go to work. All right, let's wind up. I read not long ago that Australia has received 4,000 missionaries over the course of our history. That's people coming to Australia with the gospel to do gospel ministry. Do you know how many missionaries we've sent to other countries? 3,500. So on balance, we are still a net receiver of missionaries. Will this be the generation that turns this around so that we become net senders of missionaries? But you might ask, you know, why doesn't God just do this? Why doesn't he just send them and do the good work and reach the gospel poor? What is he waiting for? And it's one of the great mysteries of the faith that God is waiting for us. He waits for us to care about this. Now, I guess we're in different ages and stages of life, aren't we? You may be in your senior years and you feel like it's too late for your generation to do much in terms of mission. Absolutely not. You could send your children or your grandchildren to be missionaries, or you, or each other's children or grandchildren, or the children or grandchildren that are in this church. You could pray that our church sends missionaries, even though it would cost you if your children or grandchildren went. It might cost you Christmases with them, but it's still worth it. You could give. You could give you could give $50 a month, or maybe you could actually leave a legacy through a bequest. You might make more impact on global mission and what happens in the next generation through a bequest than you could possibly imagine. Or you could set aside 10 minutes a day to pray specifically about global mission for God's glory, for the nations, for the missionaries. I mean, it doesn't really matter what age and stage we're at. There are things that we can do as we long to see this generation or the next generation really mobilized for global mission. The question is, do our hearts beat in time with God's heart? Do we care about what he cares about? This is what he has laid down the life of his son for. He is invested. Are we? Will we pray, give, and go or send because we care about this? Let me lead us in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your heart, which is so much bigger than we can imagine, and your love for us through sending your son, your spirit, sending the gospel here to Australia, by empowering this church, by enabling us to come to faith in Christ. We thank you for all that you've given us, our material wealth, our well-being. Lord, please make our hearts beat in time with your heart. Help us to care about what you care about. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.